Hello. Today I'll be reading from John 15, which is on page 876 on these Bibles in front of you. So I encourage, it's a good one, so grab out a physical version if you can. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will become even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no other than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appoint you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask is in my name, that the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
Thanks, Sam. Hello again, friends. Good to be with you as we explore God's word. If you are visiting tonight, you're new, what are we doing at this time? We're going to spend some time looking at what Sam just read. And so we do this each week to understand how it is that God sees us, how he wants to reveal himself to us, and what it looks like to be his people. And so that's what I'm going to do. We're going to explore it together. But the first thing we do is pray. So I'm going to pray. I'll talk to God for all of us, and then we'll explore. So please pray with me. Father, again, we thank you for your good and your gracious word. We're thankful tonight for Suri and Sumi, who you have saved, who you've brought to yourself, who have chosen you, because you have chosen them. And in this moment, Holy Spirit, please speak through me and all of us here so we can know what it means to remain in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as Sam read that, you may think, and what we're going to do is talk about vineyards. Maybe vineyards bring up some beautiful thoughts for you, going through the Hunter Valley or something like that. Vines and gardeners and branches, fruit, some things that come from the fruit. We're not talking about wine tasting, but we're talking about how it is that we can be fruitful in life. How it is we can experience some of the beautiful and good things in life. And what that passage spoke about, love and joy, and just before in chapter 14, peace. Or perhaps some of the things that Surya and Sumi spoke about in their story. How they experienced some of the peace, the love, and the joy that is found in God. And what we're going to explore, how it is that you and I can flourish in life. How is it that we can be a beautiful vineyard, is the picture that is displayed to us. And we're going to do that by looking at this part of the Bible. Now, we're looking at John chapter 15, where Jesus is speaking to a bunch of his closest friends, the closest friends that he has, and Jesus is about to go to the cross, about to die, be risen again, and he's going to send out these disciples, his friends, to go and tell the world, eventually to getting people here in Australia 2,000 years later. And he's preparing them. And he starts to talk about a vineyard, something that you and I have seen and perhaps experienced or been amongst. And for them, it was very, very real. They would walk amongst vineyards very regularly. And you kind of imagine Jesus perhaps picking up branches as they walked through the streets of Jerusalem, or pointed out vineyards as they walked along. And he gives this beautiful picture of what it looks like to be a follower of him, what it looks like to experience this flourishing life. And so that's what you and I are going to explore. Now, in this vineyard, Jesus, he spoke about three elements, which are about three characters. The vine, which is Jesus. The gardener, which is God the Father, and then the branches, which could be us, people who follow Jesus, people who want to follow Jesus, the branches. And so we're going to look at each one, the vine, the gardener, and then the branches, Jesus the Father, and then us. That's our approach. So as Sam read, you would have heard him begin by saying this. Verse 15, and these are the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. And as he goes on to verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now, Jesus says here he is the true vine. Now, that might not make a huge amount of sense to us to be a true vine as opposed to a fake vine. You know, you can have fake vines and flowers, I guess. But to be a true vine is particularly important. Now, when I moved into my home at Headley Street, my wife and I planted some passion fruit vines. Now, we were told you have to plant multiple passion fruit vines in order for them to flourish. And so we planted 3 passion fruit vines. And we pruned them and we watered them and we gave them the right fertilizer. We went down to Ultra Nursery and they told us which ones to put on them. And we tended for these passion fruit plants for 2 years. We got no fruit. It was a sad story, right? These plants, these vines were duds. They were dud vines. Now, in the story of the Bible, the people of God are pictured like a vine, like a vineyard. And all the time before Jesus, the vine is almost never producing fruit. Instead of producing fruit, it produces rotten things and briars, and it's just not doing what it should do. So when Jesus comes and he says, I am the true vine, he is saying the way to have life and life itself, flourishing life, happens in me and in me alone. He is the true vine. And so it means for us, if we want the source of life, we need to be attached to him as the vine. He is saying that you want full life, it's in me and me alone. He is the source. Just you imagine fruit itself, grapes. If a grape wanted to grow, it literally has to be attached to a vine. It cannot grow by itself, no matter how hard it tries. If the branch is cut off and it's on the ground, no matter how beautiful the branch is, if it's cut from the vine, it can't grow. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the true vine. I am the source of life. Now, we'll talk in a moment about what it looks like to remain in Jesus, which comes up heaps throughout this. But Jesus is clearly saying, if you want to be fruitful in life, experience the love and the joy and the peace and experience what it means to be on his mission, then you need to remain in him. You cannot have any form of spiritual, grow anything of spiritual significance without him. But what he does say in the end of verse 5, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Did you notice that he said will bear? Not might bear or probably bear or maybe you have the potential to, but will, guaranteed. He's ensuring that people who are in him will be fruitful. It's assured. And so just as any healthy vine that you see outside that you've experienced, healthy vines produce fruit or produce flowers, the people that remain in Jesus produce fruit. It will happen. And that is the beautiful promise that is for all of us who want to remain and be in him. But it also means don't try to be fruitful without him, because you won't experience the fruit that he offers unless we're in the vine. He is the source of life itself, the source of these beautiful fruits that can be available to us. And he's saying you cannot be fruitful without him. Now, that is a humbling thing, but also a very beautiful thing. Because sometimes we, especially for us who are Christian and following Jesus, we can toil and strain and strive, but we can do it without Jesus' strength. And he is saying, I want you to be fruitful. You do it in my strength. Do it through what I give you. And this is the beauty that he offers. That means if you are weak, praise the Lord. Because if you're weak, you don't rely on your own strength. You look to God for his strength. You don't think you have anything good to offer. Praise the Lord, because you look to Jesus, who's the ones that are going to bring out that beautiful goodness within you. Strong people or people who think they all have it all together, don't look to God. So if you're weak, That is a good thing, because God will work in you through Jesus, should you choose to abide in him. We can't be fruitful without Jesus. He's the source of life. He's the true vine. That's the first part. Then we move to looking at the gardener, looking at to the work of God. Now, in any form of vineyard, you have the vine that is going to then produce the branches and the fruit, but you always have basically a gardener who ensures that everything about that vine produces fruitfulness. Now, when Elizabeth and I were on our 10th wedding anniversary, we went to the Hunter. And our favourite time of going to the Hunter was to go to small vineyards. Now, we love going to small vineyards because when you do the wine tasting there, you don't get some hired hand, you get the owner. And when the owner comes and does the wine tasting with you, you just see their excitement, right? They point out all the different things that have happened in the vine. They tell you about their pruning. They talk to you about all the textures in the grape that happen. They're just so joyful and delighted about their vineyard because they put so much effort into it. It is almost like to their glory. They are just loving what has been produced through their labor in the vine. And that is like what God the Father is like for his people. Laboring, loving, pruning, cutting, cultivating this vine and branches to be fruitful. And in verse 8, it said, the fruitfulness, growing fruit, this is to my Father's glory. God wants the vineyard, wants these branches to be fruitful. That is his desire, and he works to make sure that that happens. Now, in the verse, it gave two things that the Father specifically does. He cuts and he prunes, like a good gardener. So the first thing is that he cuts. It says this, verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And if you go down to verse 6, it says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. Now, that's a bit of a confronting image that comes across there. But in a sense, it makes a lot of logic. You imagine a real vine that you see. If a real vine isn't producing any fruit, it is dead. And to be dead, it's not attached to the, not attached internally to the vine. And so anyone tending to it will cut it off. So what this is talking about is not saying if you're a Christian that God's going to come up to you and cut you off his family. That's not what Jesus is talking about at all. He's talking about if someone doesn't want to have relationship with him, they are removed because they've chosen to be removed. And as a good gardener, God cuts off something which is lifeless. But then God the Father also prunes. Back to verse 2, he says he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit while he prunes every branch that does bear fruit so that it will be even more fruitful. For any vine to be fruitful, it has to be pruned. If a vine is left to grow by itself, it eventually doesn't produce an abundance of fruit. It might produce a little bit of fruit, or it gets diseased, or it doesn't reach to its potential. It has to be pruned. Every branch is pruned. If you go to the Hunter during usually February or March, it looks barren. Anyone been there in February or March? Everything is just cut back. If you go in like July or in the midwinter, you might have seen it's grown a little bit and then things are cut again. The buds are nipped sometimes. So then later into the spring, some of the initial grapes are removed so that more grapes will grow. There's this very scientific process that goes on to pruning. And the same thing happens spiritually, not scientifically, with the Christian. That the Father prunes things, cuts away things in our life or within us in order to make us more fruitful. Now, what could this pruning be? It could be the revealing of sin within your life, ways that we've turned against God, or experiencing the corruption of our bodies in the world. It could be a redirecting of our course. You imagine a vine on a trellis, on a lattice, and then if you're the gardener, you take it out of one spot and then you pull it to somewhere else in order to get to the light. God may redirect our path in some way. It could be that he cuts off something which we've created dependence on that is not of him, which is going to lead to something unhelpful into the future. Could be something about correcting us or rebuking us or training us. Now, always, pruning is going to hurt by its very nature. Pruning can feel uncomfortable. Having those things revealed is hard. And it's often through the sufferings that we experience in life that then God will use to grow our character, to then grow our being so that we can be fruitful. Because pruning, if it's done by God, is always good. Secateurs in the hand of the Father are always perfect. And so, friends, if you are a Christian, if there is any fruit in your life whatsoever, you know what the Father's going to do? He's going to prune you because he wants you to become more fruitful and experience more of the joy and the peace and be effective in his work in the world. And of course, that is harsh at times, but it's never harmful. The pruning always has a purpose. And so in your life at the moment, it might not be this season, it might be a season that you've come from or a season that you're going to. But perhaps God is pruning, removing things or revealing things in your life. And so embrace that pruning. Pruning is painful, but it is purposeful and it is good. You can ask your friends to help you to discern in what way God is doing a work in your life. It could be the prevention of earthly success or the delay of some other form of growth in your life. It could be the removal of a friendship. It could be that you experience some of the consequences of sin in your life. Whatever it is, it might be hard in the moment and it may look ugly to others, just like going to the hunter in March. But come back in January. And it is beautiful and delightful and good. And that's what the Father's pruning does in our life through the work of the Spirit. Which then brings us to us, or people who want to remain in Jesus, the branches, people. Now, in this metaphor, you and I, those who want to remain in Jesus, we have one job. We have one job in this passage. It's not to be the source of life. It's not even to become our own vine so that we can then grow more fruitful somewhere else. It's not to do the pruning. It's not even to force fruitfulness. Our one job is to remain. That's our one job. Our one job is to abide in Jesus, to remain in him, and Jesus' job is to bring the fruit. Now, the fruit will come, but that's Jesus' work through the Spirit within us. That's not our own effort. That's not our own thrust and desire. It's our desire, but it's God's work. If you have a read with me, verse 5 again. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Now, in the passage, when Sam read it, you may have heard the word remain come up again and again and again and again. It actually came up 11 times. It's the central thing going on here. Now, the Greek word, it basically means to attach yourself, to remain, to dwell, to stay, to abide. There's an effort that happens there, but it's an intention to make your home in something, to let that be your dwelling place, the place where you source your sense of self and life and security and all things. Now, why is it important to abide in Jesus and Jesus alone? On one level, there is an eternal significance. Being with Jesus now and forever, or to be apart from him for now and for forever. There is an eternal significance to being with Jesus or not. But there's also a significance for now, in this moment, in this life, today. Because the vine that you are attached to in your life right now will determine the fruit. Passion fruit vines don't produce bananas. They produce passion fruits. Grape vines produce grapes. Olive trees produce olives. Whatever we choose to attach ourselves to, that will turn itself into fruit into our life. John Mark Comer, who's written a beautiful book about this called Practicing the Way, one of the comments that he says, all of us are abiding. Every single one of us is coming here tonight. We're abiding, we're remaining, we're staying. We've made our home in someone or something. The question is not, are you abiding? The question is, what are you abiding in? Now, when Jesus is talking here, see, he's specifically talking about our character, who we are as a person, what our thoughts are, what our behaviors are, what our actions are, our character. In other parts of the Bible, fruit will be in terms of our ministry and what we do. But here it's talking about character, how we express who we are. Now, John Mark Comer, he continues on, and I'm just going to read this because I think he captures it so well. He says, if you're rooted in the infinite scroll of social media, it will likely form us into people who are angry, anxious, arrogant, simplistic, and distracted. If you're rooted in the endless queues of streaming platforms of choice, they will form us likely into people who are lustful, who are restless, who are bored, and never present to what is. If we're rooted in the pursuit of hedonism, another drink or another hookup to take the edge off the pain, and let us find a moment's peace, that will form us into people who are compulsive, addicted, and running from our pain and simultaneously in our healing. Because what we attach ourselves to will then produce a fruit. But what if you remain in Jesus? What if you're rooted in him? In him, he produces his character. His character comes out. In the passage, he spoke about love, love that he has, that the Father has for us, and the love that we ought to have to each other. And then he spoke about the joy. He says, I've told you this in verse 11 so that your joy, my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. In the part that just came before this, we didn't read it, but he spoke about my peace will come to you. And Sumi spoke about that in her story. Later on, after one of the disciples of Jesus named Paul writes many letters, he wrote about the fruits of the Spirit to a church in modern-day Turkey in Galatia. And he said this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against no such thing there is no law. In other words, who doesn't want those things in your life? These are the beautiful and the good things that Jesus embodied, that he had, and that he gives to his people. This is the fruit that Jesus is talking specifically about in this passage. And so we can ask, are these the fruits that are coming out in your life? If your life was pictured like a vineyard, what would the fruits look like? What are the characters that come out in your life? Is it those things or is it different things? A combination of those things. Does it last? Does the love and the joy last or does it fade instantly? I can always tell in myself, when I'm not abiding in Jesus in a practical way, because my temper gets shorter, I get more of a short temper, I get more agitated, I swear in my head, subconsciously sometimes I speak it slowly out, they're indicators to me that of course I'm in Jesus, but I'm not practicing his way. I'm in him, I'm not getting cut off, I'm probably being pruned. And the Spirit reveals to me that, hey, Matt, you're not remaining in Jesus at this point. You're not acting in the way that is how he has made us and called us to be. Not being with Jesus. And those things are an indicator of that. He wants to be fruitful in my life. And he wants to be fruitful in your life. For his glory and our good. One of the songs that we just sung. That's the beautiful thing about Jesus. And so how is it that we can do that? How is it that we can remain? Now, this passage doesn't talk about how you begin it, how you become part of the vine. And it's talking about having been in the vine, how you remain. But other parts of the Gospel of John, other parts of the Bible talk about it. Jesus alluded to it in verse 13. In verse 13, he said, he's talking about love, and there is no greater love than this, to lay one's life down for one's friends. To flick across a couple of chapters, you hear Jesus did lay down his life, that he died on the cross, he rose again in victory, and the purpose of that death was to bring us life. Life with him, life and forgiveness with him and with one another. the redemption of all things, to make things right. And that's why Jesus died. And when you heard in the stories of Sumia and Suri, they are people who have said, I want to be part of that. God has called them, he's made them his own, and they've said yes. They don't fully understand all the implications of that, but they know Jesus is the way. They know he is the life and the truth, and they've chosen him. Because as it said in verse 16, he has chosen them, and they've responded in faith. So how do you do it? How do you come be part of the vine? You come and see Jesus, and you believe and place your faith in him, just like we saw Sumi and Surya speak about tonight. But then what about after you've done that? When you're in Jesus, guaranteed, you're in the vine, you're not getting cut anymore. You're just being pruned. How do you continue to remain in Jesus? And of course, you've been around church for a while. You know, it's about praxis. You pray, read the Bible, you come to church. Those things don't make you Christian. They help you experience and grow in your faith, just like any relationship there is. But when we're talking about abiding in Jesus, we're talking about what it looks like to live in two places at once. To have your morning breakfast and be with Jesus. To get on a cramped train with other people and be with Jesus. What it looks like to be with Jesus when you're stressed for an exam, when you've got a crummy time at work, when you're seeking fruitfulness in your life in any way. We're learning to be in two places at once. Now, when it comes to being in two places at once, it obviously takes some intentionality. Right? Jesus, he does the work. He goes to the cross, he makes us his own. And then he's in the business of growing us. And growth takes time. And it also takes a plan. You've got a friend and you want to meet them for coffee. Or you want to meet them for anything. Maybe you don't have coffee. Maybe you're doing something else. You're a middle-aged man and you're doing smoked meats. Whatever it may be. You want to catch up with someone. You have to do two things. Three, actually. You've got to desire it, you've got to plan it, and then you've got to be disciplined to make it happen. Jesus here gives us a picture that is desirable, fruitful life in the vineyard, what it looks like to be fruitful in his family. But then we need a plan and then discipline to carry it out. J.D. Greer, one of the other pastors in the U.S., he has this wonderful quote. He says, Christian growth is the combination of resting in Jesus and a disciplined, active pursuit of him. Guaranteed in his family, there's no fear of being cut, but to experience the fruitfulness, to experience the life, to be used by him in his mission, there's a disciplined effort that happens. Grace is not opposed to effort, it's opposed to earning it. It produces something within us. And all of us have plans for so many things in life. You have plans about going to the gym, you have plans about your career, you have plans in your relationship. Some of us are a bit more disciplined and have plans with our budget. We all have plans. And in our spiritual life, we need plans too. So to draw out the vineyard image a little bit more, the plan is like the lattice, the trellis. There's no life in the trellis, right? There's no life in the vineyard, in the lattice. But for the branches and the vine to grow, it needs to go in and out of that lattice to find the light, to grow and be beautiful. And so in our spiritual life, the plans that we have about how much, when, how, with whom we're going to spend time with Jesus, how we're going to pray, how we're going to read the Bible, when we're going to read the Bible, when we're going to fast or Sabbath, of all those things, none of them make you a Christian. You would have heard Sumi and Suri, none of those actions make you a Christian, but they help you experience the life and the fruitfulness that is on offer to you through Jesus, through the work of the Spirit. That's to the Father's glory. He wants flourishing vineyards, flourishing vines. And that is the invitation that he offers us all. If you're not a Christian, to come to him. If you are a Christian, to remain and abide in him. And friends, when we do that, it is so attractive to people who don't know Jesus yet. With people who don't know Jesus and they see us being joyful, or they see us in the midst of suffering holding on, or they see us having a love that just goes beyond the normal social conventions, it's attractive. Humanity wants that. And so when we display the fruits of the Spirit, We're displaying part of the glory of God to the world. Like driving through the Hunter and going, wow, isn't that glorious? We will never get it perfect, ever. We'll never get it perfect. That's why God will keep pruning us and keep making us more and more fruitful to his glory. The invitation here is Jesus is life. In him is life for all who want to remain in him. So come to him, remain in him, embrace the Father's pruning, because Jesus alone is life, and fruitfulness will come through him. That's his promise. Let me pray. Father, we're thankful that you love us. Thank you that you came for us. Thank you that you're a God who deeply loves us. Jesus, we're thankful that you went to the cross. And then in this wonderful image here, you desire for us to be fruitful. And you don't say make the effort on your own, but you will produce it in and through us. What a strange mystery, God, that you would make your home in us and you'd invite us to make our home in you, to remain in you. Please help us to do that, to your glory, to begin, to continue, to persevere all of our days until you return or call us home. In Jesus' name, amen.